Hey, welcome to WWD Voices. My name is Arthur Zachwitz, executive editor at WWD, and this is part of a series of podcasts that we're calling Chatbox. And we have a special guest, Michael Appel, who's the managing director of retail for Getzler Henrik. And you, what do you do with Getzler again? You run
Thank
the show
there. Okay, it's not a senior moment. Okay, I run the retail practice at Getzler Henrik, which is a restructuring and performance and that's been in business for over 55 years, and our focus is on the middle market.
And you also were at the helm of Route 21, right? And that was
yes.
sort of a turnaround story. We'll talk about that in a second. And then our special guest is Claire Spofford, who's CEO of J. Jill. Welcome, Claire. How are you?
I'm well, Arthur. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Tell us a little bit about your background and how you ended up at J. Jill.
Yeah, well, I started in what you, I guess I wouldn't really call it retail, but I've always been in kind of the footwear, apparel, home space with different, some of the companies had different focus from a channel standpoint or a distribution standpoint. So I really had my formative years at Timberland when Timberland was going through crazy growth, and what a wonderful brand, what wonderful product, and just incredibly intellectually curious, high energy people and space. And so I learned a lot in my 10 years there when Timberland was growing by leaps and bounds. And so I've really, that was sort of the footwear world. And then I was in a private equity backed roll up of companies that were more focused on apparel. And then when I moved to run Garnet Hill and then Cornerstone Brands, which is now part of Qurate Retail Group, I got introduced to the home space as well. So, but what I love is consumers and what makes them tick and what gets them excited about products and great brands and working with great people. Those are the things that matter to me.
Well, we're going to get to that in a second. But first off, I just want to congratulate you. You guys had a great quarter. You seem to be hitting all the right notes as far as like gross margins and net income and adjusted EBITDA and et cetera. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
I think Wall Street was pleased. Michael, when we think about a brand, right, like a retail brand, what comes to mind? Like what makes for a really good brand?
Well, I think, first of all, I think that the great brands really, really understand, you know, it's a combination of obviously great product, but really understanding your consumer, right? And understanding what makes he or she tick and how to deliver that promise to the customer, you know, through great product, great execution, and great marketing. So, and the great brands have done that, continue to do that, right? They're really focused. When you see, you know, it's kind of funny, I think about this is that, and great brands have staying power, you know? They may have, you know, they may have peaks in a few valleys, but they keep on going, and they resonate with that consumer. And as long as they keep their focus on that, on their consumer, then, you know, I think they continue to prosper. So, and you see that today, right? I mean, Claire, you could talk about that, you know, for a long time in terms of, you know, when you look at the performance of some of the companies out there, right? They really get it.
But Claire, how would you describe your brand? What are some of the attributes and who is the target customer?
Yeah, thank you for asking. We love our customer. I think we are in a really nice sweet spot of the market in the sense that our customer is very loyal. And, you know, if we do a good job of understanding her, to your point, Michael, which we spend a lot of time and energy really focused on, and understanding her needs and what you know, she's looking for and delivering that from a product standpoint and an experience standpoint, then she's incredibly loyal. The average tenure of our customer is over 10 years with the brand. So
wow.
that's magic, right? We have a lot, we have to do our job and we have to do it well. But, you know, as opposed to some brands that are more, that don't, you know, that are speaking to a customer who's looking at maybe a lot more brands and maybe a little less loyal or a little bit more fashion forward, then I think that introduces by definition risk into the business. And so we spend a lot of times, it doesn't mean by any stretch that we're not interested in providing fashion for our customer. That's right. The business we're in, right? But we translate it and we're not bleeding edge. And so that's a really nice place to be. Our customer demographic is 45 to 65, household incomes, 150K plus on average. And she's really well educated and very discerning. And so she knows what she likes. She knows what she wants. She's more than willing to tell us that. And we try to do our best to serve her. And when we do, she rewards us with her loyalty, which is great.
So and I'll let Michael weigh in on this as well. But how do you maintain that love, that engagement, which kind of feeds into longer lifetime customer value? What's it take?
Well, it takes the right product. If you don't know, this is what I learned starting at Timberland. If you don't have the right product, it doesn't matter how good you are at marketing, how good an experience you have. It just doesn't matter because what you're asking her to pay for is the product, right? So that is, you know, job number one. But I think really listening to her, really understanding her, and you know, part of what I call our secret sauce is our in-store experience. So, you know, there are a lot of stores where you go in and it's hard to get anybody to pay attention to you. Our stores are like going to your girlfriend's house and you know, having a chat session and picking out great clothes. And you get that energy when you walk into our stores. It's a very high touch, very personalized experience. And I think I know that that's important to our customers. And I think that that's part of what helps us thrive.
Yeah, Michael, you any perspectives on that?
I think Claire's nailed it, really, in that, you know, from my experience, especially going into companies that are challenged, is first you really understand who your customer segments are, how they behave, what they're expecting from you, you know, listening to her. And you mean
active listening, not just
she'll tell you everything. And it becomes kind of I'm not saying it's easy, all right, because it's challenging because things are always changing in retail. But if you really listen to her, she's going to tell you her expectations. She's going to tell you, you know, what's good, what's not good, what we could do better, et cetera. And so that I think having that constant dialogue with her is really important. And that dialogue could be it could be consumer research. It could be going to visit the stores, right? Spending time on the stores, talking to your customers. But most of the time, she's going to give you, you know, a report card, right? And so, you know, if you're willing to take the good and the bad, right, and take action, you're going to be fine. I think, you know, it's not, of course, I always say it's not as simple as that because there's so many moving parts to it. But you still, you know, it still all boils down to sort of the basics, right? And being really, really focused on that. Okay. And she'll, you know, she'll say thank you with her pocketbook.
Is it, Claire, do you use any data? Is there technologies that also help, or is that just a waste of?
We use so much data. I mean, we've been a direct to consumer company forever, right? So we've had a lot of data. We use that data. I think the data is critically important. It helps us decide where our highest potential store locations are. It helps us understand our customers more in a more refined way. You talked, Michael, about understanding kind of the segments of your customer base and the different, you know, your customer base is not a monolith, right? There are different segments that behave differently and that operate differently and that represent different levels of potential return on investment in terms of, you know, speaking to them and marketing to them and bringing on more customers that are like them. So we use a lot of data from those perspectives. I think the thing I learned at Timberland was you can't just rely on data. You have to use common sense. You have to use understanding of your customer on a different level so that, you know, primary research, that being in the stores, that, you know, having a conversation is really, really important to augment kind of the data mining side of things and get a full understanding. You know, our brand's around centered around women and understanding and celebrating the totality of our customer, not just thinking of her as a number or a size or an ethnicity or an age or anything. It's like, treat her as an individual. And in order to do that, you have to have kind of a personal understanding as well as a data-driven understanding.
You said something that reminds me, which Michael says a lot. He says two things. It's not rocket science, but it is. And it's it takes common sense, right? Yeah. So, I mean, that's, you know, from the C-suite, it's you have to set a tone, you have to set the culture that aligns with that. So how would you, Claire, describe your leadership capabilities and style and in executing that?
Well, I think, and I hope, that any members of my team would tell you that I'm pretty open. I'm pretty direct. I think, you know, recognizing that this is business and we have to figure out what the right thing is to do for our customer and for the business is what we have to do first. And then we understand how to do it. And we do it as a team. I think, like I said, understanding and celebrating the totality of our customer. I also believe that with the team members, people are people, you know, and that's important. And so, so having, you know, a very collaborative, open environment is super important to me. What I say to the team all the time is I don't want any surprises. It's just business, you guys. So let's get it out there and let's problem solve if there's something that we need to talk about. So,
So Michael, is there a lack of common sense in the market today?
Well, thanks, Arthur, for the softball. Okay, I appreciate it.
You don't have to name anybody.
I think. Look, if you look at retail today, there's like this big bifurcation in performance between the people that have got it right and people who are struggling. And the people who are struggling, I think, you know, they're not listening to their customer, and they're not necessarily, and they may also be driven by outside factors. They may be owned by private equity firms. They may be a public company. And so there's this you know, pressure to perform, you know, on a monthly or quarterly basis that drives behavior, which may not be the right behavior longer term for your customer and for your brand. So I think there's, you know, like steering the ship through that, right, is really important. And Claire, I'm sure you could talk about that, you know, a lot. And as a leader, that's your responsibility, right, to do it and to set the tone and to understand and really to communicate the vision, right, that that's out there. So that helps you, I think, you know, get to the other side, right? Because there's sometimes a lot of noise out there. So I think that's, you know, is it common sense? I think it's being able to really look at the whole, you know, the whole landscape, knowing, you know, what your mission is as a brand, as a retailer, and you know, really stay on course.
But Claire, what is your vision as it stands now? How do you see the brand evolving over time?
Well, I think, Arthur, that we've done a lot of work over the last few years. I'm 3 years in now at JGL, and I think we've thankfully been able to do a lot to get the business on track to instill profitability. I mean, you know, you're looking at maintain margins in the high 60s and EBITDA margins in the high teens. You know, that's a focus on profitability. That's a focus of the whole team on the things that drive a profitable business for us. As part of that, we've done a lot of work with our brand. I think maybe we've gotten a little quiet and not as exciting, and we needed to update. And so we did a lot of primary research. We worked with some external resources to help us bring the brand forward. And I feel great about where we're positioned now. And I think that that positioning of, you know, living in a life where the totality of every woman is seen, valued, and celebrated, and that our role in that is to fuel her for whatever she wants to do with the right apparel, is a great place to be and is resonating with our customer and is resonating with prospective customers. And we also know that at 244 stores, we are nowhere near overstored. We have a lot of potential for growth in terms of adding unit store growth, and that will help us raise awareness and also bring new customers into the brand. So, so there's a lot of opportunity in front of us. Another piece of what I think was really important in terms of our brand kind of renovation, and I call it a renovation. It wasn't a rebranding. It was an updating, right? Was our inclusive sizing initiative. We had been in the business for 20 years already, but we never talked about it. And we still had an upcharge on plus sizes a couple of years ago, which is just wrong and an anachronism. And so we took that upcharge away. We created one inclusive size run, extra small through 4X. We added 2X to the stores, which we hadn't had room to do before because we were over inventoried. We're now in a really, you know, sort of disciplined inventory space. And that inclusive sizing initiative has been, has provided great traction and is now central to who our brand is. We are an inclusive brand. And I think that there's a lot more runway there. So there's a lot we can do, leveraging kind of where we are positioned in the marketplace and the opportunities that we have. We don't want to be all things to all people, and we don't need to be in order to grow profitably as we look forward. And that's kind of the way we're focused.
And Mike, we talked about this too, exactly this, about being focused, not like staying to your core, right? Like, what are your core strengths as a retailer?
And you know, I love Vijay Jill. I mean, I just love the space that that they're in. 45 to 65 fashion, underserved, okay? These ladies have plenty of money, and they're not fuddy-duddy, you know? 45, 65 is, what, the new 35? I don't even know. It's just, it's their mindset, right? It's like they want to look, and the thing about it is, when you think about the business, it's all about, you know, making your customer feel great and look great, right? And when she feels great and she looks great and she gets out there and people say, wow, okay, you've got to
get that dress, right?
Right?
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, there's a lot of, and it's such an underserved, space today. People they sort of forget it, right? You know, there's so much money, right? With that customer, and she wants to spend.
Clay, how do you do that? How do you welcome in the 45, that end of the demographic? How do you embrace them and take them on their journey through your brand?
An introduction or a reintroduction of the brand. I think some people have perceptions from 10 years ago that are different than who we are today. Our product teams, design, merchandising, sourcing, do an amazing job of understanding trend, translating trend for our customer. I think our product assortments are really well done, and she responds to it. You can tell by the full price penetration in our business over the last few years. And, you know, she likes color and she likes quality fabrications. To your point, Michael, she can shop pretty much anywhere. She's not a luxury shopper necessarily, but she can shop pretty much anywhere she wants. And so we have to do a good job, but she recognizes, you know, great make, great fabrications, on-trend color palettes. Those things are all super important. And then, you know, from a marketing standpoint and a product standpoint, we've done some things over the last couple of years. We had a work edit because through that primary research, listen to your customer. What she was saying to us was, I'd love J. Jill to provide me with great clothes for a casual work environment. And so We created a work edit, which was basically taking a subsection of our assortment and styling it creatively differently and pointing it toward those customers. And we brought in customers at the younger end of our demographic. And then we did a workwear wherever works edit in September, capsule that was absolutely focused on that. And that capsule was even a little bit more refined, more work conscious, and at 20 to 30% higher retails than our core assortment, and sold through very well. So again, listening to your customer, understanding her needs, understanding, you know, where the growth potential is coming from, and then executing against it. To your point, Michael, it's like, it's easy to say, it's hard to execute really well all the time, but that's what this business is about.
We just have a few minutes left, and I just want to ask one more question. Claire, how does your direct-to-consumer business inform your physical stores and vice versa?
It's customer data. And, you know, we listen in the stores. We leverage the data out of both channels. And, you know, ideally, we want customers to shop both channels.
Right.
So, you know, I know you hear this all the time, but multi-channel customers are way more valuable. And so the more we can encourage her or get her to shop both channels, that's terrific. But we also are not about pushing water uphill. Like, we're here to serve the customer wherever, whenever she wants to shop. That's where we're happy to serve her. So
amazing. Well, we're out of time, but Michael, what did we learn today?
What we learn is you got to keep at it, right? Yeah. With Claire's story of J. Jill was really, you know, renovating the brand, right? And that when you've got brand equity, that customer wants you to be successful. But it's a lot of work, as Claire spoke about it. It's you know, understanding the customer, assembling the right team, you know, and executing and continuing to evolve, right? Because you can't stand still. The customer's got access to all this information. So, and she's processing that and the way she shops. So as a retailer, you have to stay abreast of that. And I'm sure Claire could talk about that for a long time and what All she right. spent the time doing. So,
well, we'll have Claire come back. We'll have Colty come back. We'll do a part two. And so thank you, Michael. Thank you, Claire. Thank you so much for coming on today. And thanks, listeners, for tuning in.
Thanks, you guys. So nice to meet both of you.
A pleasure.
Thanks, Claire. Thanks, Arthur.